Welcome to episode 4 of the Schaefer Creative Podcast. This is another episode of Conversations with Creatives. This is a continuation of my conversation with character animator and director Alain Seguin. If you missed the first part of my conversation with Al, you will find it in episode 3 of the Schaefer Creative Podcast. So let's talk about creativity and talent. Give me your thoughts on talent.
My brother was 3 years older than me, and he was always the better artist. I was thought he had a natural talent, and I was working my ass off to get where he was. But I'm 3 years behind, right? And there's a certain maturity and drive that's involved there, especially when we're talking between 6 and 9 years old, right?
Well, your brain responds to your stimulus and what you're doing, so it's like a muscle.
It is.
They say it's a muscle.
Yeah.
If you're not exercising the muscle, you're not going to grow. From my perspective, there might be some little inkling of talent there, but it's not the big headline. Mm-hmm. The fact that you have this talent, it's not really, it's a potential.
Yeah, I think that's an important distinction there.
The greater virtue is hard work and applying yourself and being interested in it. Because the people who are really good at anything are the ones who love it. And
yes,
they spend all their time thinking about it, reading on it, listening to other people or watching other people.
Yeah.
And then doing.
It's so strange because it can also be a chicken and the egg thing. Because when I was in high school, I was extremely good at track and field. I was jumping higher than all the other kids. I was running faster. They wanted me in basketball teams, but I had very little interest. So there's your talent, but I had no interest in it.
Yeah.
So I didn't develop in that
right
at all.
That's right.
Now I'm a lazy dude.
You're losing it all.
Yeah. But I'm not interested in being athletic as much, you know?
Yeah.
But I was driven like a madman to be a better artist.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so I was working all the time.
What I noticed in art schools was that when you have the students coming in for the first year's classes, you know who the talented guys are and
yeah,
who are the ones who are like, I'm not sure they're going to ever make it.
Yeah.
But often what happens is the guys who came in who are, we're not sure, they exceed the talented guys.
Yeah.
The guys who came in thinking that they had talent.
I was going to bring that up. The same thing happened to me in college. There's this one guy who came from an art high school.
Yeah.
You know, he was way better than all of us, year one, so we're all intimidated. But what did the guy do? He kind of slacked off. Year two, we're all better than him.
See, the danger is that talent has no objective nature to it. It's completely subjective.
Mm.
So to tell somebody you have talent, they think that there's something magical in them. Right.
Yeah.
That's going to somehow, when the time comes, it's just going to blossom.
Yeah, we're
naturally.
We're all X-Men. Yeah.
That's it. It's artistic X-Men.
Yeah.
You know?
That's a good way to put it. Because, yeah, every time we draw something nice and somebody that doesn't draw comes up to it, it's a miracle.
Yeah.
It's something that just came out of this person just because they've always been able to do
right
it. Have you seen my Ninja Turtles that I did when I was 7 years old? That's not an X-Men power right there.
Talent is not a superpower.
No.
That's the headline.
It's practice. And it's like you mentioned Ron, right? Ron has a talent and it's a creativity with organization and spreadsheets and all that. So I'm wondering, like, there's a talent. If I walk up to Ron and I say, wow, it's pretty amazing that you did all those that tabulation and all that, right? He'll say, yeah, I just did it last night. I put a couple of hours into it. At no point am I going to say, wow, that's magical. You're a magic man with this innate talent for it. I wish that had happened to me when I was 3 years old.
Maybe if you understood what you were looking at, you might see it.
Maybe.
In his case. Yeah.
Maybe, but my point is, for some reason, art, because it's a visual medium, I don't know, people think there's much more to it than just sheer practice.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, it scares me when kids come up to me and say, I'm self-taught.
Yeah.
And their parents are saying, oh, she's so talented, or he's so
talented.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
That is a deadly mix.
Yeah.
Because it sets them up for so much failure and disappointment because they feel like that they've already got so much. And in our culture, it's always believe in yourself.
Oh, right? Isn't it ever now? And more than ever.
That is not going to help anybody.
Yeah, you're special.
You're special. You're not.
You're not special.
So that's what we need to tell them, especially artists coming in. You're not special. Get to work.
get learning the fundamentals.
Yeah.
Learn to paint in black and white for 6 months.
Yeah. Well, let's say I had pursued athletics, right? I don't think that I had the interest in it. So would it be okay to tell me, well, I'll just keep working at it. You need to work, work, work. And then I'd have been really good at it, but I wouldn't want to be in that job, right?
Yeah.
So is it okay to tell an artist, work, 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 you've got the basics, go from there, and when they may not be interested?
I think it's simpler than that. Our job as older artists is to give people the access and teaching that they may not be getting, that we know that they're not going to be getting from a lot of these schools, so that they get the wake-up call.
Yeah.
But there's only so much you can do. So that's where the self-taught artist, I think, takes place.
Yeah.
Is where, when you know you have the resources, you know exactly what you have to do, are you interested enough in pursuing it and applying it? Because nobody's going to go chasing these artists around the room with a stick,
making them
draw.
No, that's the hard part about animation, eh? Like, I don't even want to know what your CV is. I don't even want to know what school you went to. I just want to know, what does your stuff look like?
Exactly. That's it.
Can you say that as an accountant?
Yeah.
Or hire an accountant.
Right.
You're hired. No, you want to see the CV. You want to see the certifications. You can't do that in animation. You have to prove yourself through the actual visual medium.
Right.
You can't lie.
Your work speaks for itself.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. And you know what? You're right about us being the animators that have to help the low-level animators learn. For example, and I hope you have Guillaume on your podcast, but Guillaume was a diamond in the rough when he first arrived at Pascal. And because of that, I think some people were stifling him and said, oh, well, your position is this, and that's it. But then I snuck him over to my desk, and I taught him some stuff that he just flew with, right? At one point, he was doing a can-can girl dancing, right? And I was trying to teach him how to make cloth flow. And he'd isolated it on one level. And I don't know why this makes me laugh so much, but we always bring it up. And when it was isolated, just the dress, it looked like somebody had tossed a sea cucumber into the ocean, and it was struggling as it fell to the ground. No, you can't look at it in terms of like one isolated piece. It has to flow with the kick of the leg, it has to flow with the wind being kicked up because of the motion. And he understood these things. When you sit down with someone and you put a pencil of paper on top of their work, there's no better way to teach. I don't know if that's how you feel.
Yeah. Some artists are just hungry. And you feed them, and they devour it.
Guillaume was hungry.
Other artists, you give them something, and they don't know what to do with it.
They have ego, too. That's another thing I don't like about somebody who's just starting out, you know? There's the opposite of ego. You have... Guillaume had no ego, right? And then there's also Samuel Cavanna.
Yeah.
No ego. Yeah. He's just so hungry, that guy, right?
Exactly.
And because of that, he's excellent right off the bat.
Yes.
But then I've met people right out of school who may have talent or whatever, but because their ego says, I'm going to challenge whatever this person says, and it's okay that I'm challenged. I'm not saying don't ever oppose me, but I'm saying she made it a point to always challenge what I was saying. She's not listening to the wisdom that I could possibly have.
Because she thinks she's talented.
So that's ego, isn't it?
It's talent and ego.
Yeah. Isn't that strange?
Yeah.
I don't know how to kick that out of someone when they have that.
You can't. They have to learn that the hard way.
It's so hard. That's the puzzle for me. Because I like teaching animation. Yeah. Do you like doing that?
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
But you always have students who are troublemakers. And I even had one girl come up to me, and she was so proud of herself because her great-grandfather was some renowned artist in Spain or somewhere. And she had these talented genes
kind of blood thing.
That was the underlying... And she didn't apply herself.
Boy, oh boy.
She didn't apply herself. She just wanted to do stuff and have me come over and praise her for the exercise of her genetic pool.
Suffice it to say, starving artists in current society, in animation, you're either good or you're not. People want you or they don't. And so you're starving if you can't perform. Now, that goes as far as, like, we have the higher-end jobs. We have to create higher-end content, like more Disney-esque animation. But if you look at companies like where they're doing cutout, and that's not to slam on cutout, because you can have some amazing cutout animation.
Yeah, for sure.
They're not giving you a lot of money, and they're grabbing you from school, and they're saying, yeah, yeah, you can have a career. Here's $14 an hour, and have fun. But then you're not doing what you want. You're moving this little crappy character around that you don't have time because your quotas are ridiculous. That, to me, is an artistic starvation of sorts.
Yeah.
Because this person goes to work, has to fill their quota. They're exhausted by the time they get home. If they had any talent at all, they're wasting it on being exhausted and not wanting to do their personal projects. That, to me, is a starvation.
The problem with that is it's not contributing to that artist's growth.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
So you're just sabotaging the art form just to make sausage.
That's a good way to put it, actually. It's maybe for kids. Nobody can tell the difference between good or bad.
Well, they could. I could when I was a kid. And
we can, maybe.
Ticked me off.
Yeah. Actually, yeah. I remember watching the real Ghostbusters and going, why is it never good when I love the Ghostbusters? Why are you doing this? You know? But I don't know if that's just us, but...
No, it's not. I think you understand. I mean, there's a level of quality that is innate to humanity when we see things that we are relating to. And animation is trying to relate to us on a certain level. And I think kids sense that as well. They may not articulate it.
Yeah.
They don't have the mental power to say, hey, come on, I'm not going to watch this anymore until you up your quality.
Yeah.
So we give them crap.
Yeah. And, like, it's kind of cool to see that happen, don't you think? A Pixar film will come out. And everybody's riveted to that screen. And they may not realize why.
Yeah, exactly.
But everything is moving beautifully. All the expressions are there.
Kids know the difference.
Yeah. And then are we looking at the oh, man, I've seen some terrible stuff come out of India these days. Fully 3D. Nobody's watching that stuff.
No.
And you may not know why, but you're just not watching it.
Yeah.
You know, you may have put it on for... It was Kiara the Brave. I don't know if you ever saw this.
No,
it was on Netflix. It was a ripoff of Brave. But I watched it for 5 minutes, and to me it's hilarious because it's so bad, right? But there's no kid that's going to sit through that movie, you know? But I'm just guessing if you're giving like crazy quotas or just minimum wage, the final product's not going to be fantastic.
Yeah.
It's just not, it's hurting the industry in a way.
It totally is.
We're the modern day China, right? Starving artists? I think you can not be a starving artist in Montreal, but you're not going to do great, and you're not going to learn professionally if you're not trying your best to get into the better companies.
Yeah.
One thing I'd want to say about, if I were to speak to a student today, I would say, and this is what I did during school, is they really push you to make a final film, right? And that's great, because it's a vessel to show if you're good at this or that, blah, blah, blah. But I would say focus on the thing that you're strong at. And don't worry too much about impressing somebody with your storytelling. If I'm hiring you, I don't care what kind of story you want to tell.
That's right.
I want to see if you can make a guy look like he's alive and moving around in a fluid way.
Because studios already have their stories.
Yeah,
they already have their creators. They need people to help them execute.
That's it.
And that's where you want to get in. We've lost this whole mentality of apprenticeship.
Yeah.
Where you come in at the bottom rung and you work your way up. And you learn on the job. I learned on the job.
Yeah.
I didn't go to art school. And I went to film school. I didn't go to animation school.
Wow, I didn't know that.
I learned on the job.
But anyway, I know Mel's going to kill me for saying that about the storytelling at college. But like, you didn't join the Cégep Jean-Marat animation course to be a storyteller. That's another course. You could go there if you want. This is animation, and people want to hire you for animation.
That's right.
And it's cute that you come up with little concepts, but don't get bogged down by that.
No.
What I did for my student film, because I only had 2 years to do it in school, and I only had 4 months to do an entire film, I didn't have time to think about just funny jokes or whatever, a perfect film. What I did is I just focused on good animation to show my potential employer, hey, you know, fine, I don't have a finished film, it's not colored, most of it, whatever. Do you like the animation? Yes, they did. Pascal loved the animation. I got a job right away.
When I was in film school, what they told me was, you're not going to become a director coming right out of school, so all of you, forget that.
That's great.
You need to figure out what you're going to do to make to survive when you get out of film school.
Yeah.
Because no studio is going to entrust you with millions of dollars to go direct your little whatever.
Yeah. And it's not ego. It's not just us being old farts that want to keep people down. No, it's just you're probably not that good yet.
Yeah.
and you need to work, and there's nothing wrong with being that good. I was pretty terrible at 19.
Yeah.
I consider myself terrible, and the Pascal tolerated me long enough for me to get good.
Yeah. When I came out of school, I really couldn't draw. I learned how to draw in my 20s. That's when I started taking these classes where they were teaching me how to draw because I wasn't getting it anywhere else.
Wow. So you, how much drawing did you do before
I did
that?
Tons of drawing.
Okay, yeah.
Tons.
Yeah.
So, but there was some very basic essentials I did not have, and there was lack of understanding in my, I mean, when I look at my portfolio that I tried to get a job with, my kid's portfolio trying to get into Concordia is 10 times better than what I had when I was out of school.
Yeah, and it actually freaks me out when I see that somebody like Sam is so good early. But I have to remind myself, that guy probably worked so hard when he was a kid.
You know? Both of us follow Sam.
Yeah.
He's drawing all the time.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's a moment in his day that he's not drawing.
Yeah, I know.
You know?
I go to life drawing with him, and he's like, he's so keen on it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So kudos to him, and that's practice. That's just work, you know?
This is what somebody told me. It was an animator. He says, you know, when people come to me and say, oh, you're so talented, that's really an insult to me because I have worked so hard to get to the place where I am now to be able to do what I'm doing.
Yeah.
This is hard work. It's not talent.
Yeah. And you know, proof of that, and I totally, wholeheartedly agree, is when somebody, like an old friend, contacts you and says, hey, you mind doing a Christmas card for my brother? You know, it just comes so easy to you, right?
Yeah, right. You can just whip it out.
Yeah,
real quick.
You can whip it out. And then I'm like, wow, you really think it's magic, don't you? You know? And no, I get paid for that now. When I have a new employee that sits next to me that I can help teach, I really enjoy that. I don't know why. And I can go through all the principles and my little tricks and tactics on the scene. And I just, this is something I really enjoy.
Yeah,
so cool. I think mentorship is something that people aren't getting as much either.
Yeah.
Right? Unless you get into the right studio. So that's a tricky part.
All right. Well, we need to wrap it up and get back to work.
All right.
Thanks, Al.
You're very welcome.
For more about Schaefer Creative, you can find us on the web at schaefercreative.studio. Music is by Lee Rosevere.